Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Day two of Spygate 2 has gotten really, really interesting because the reaction from the Patriots and Bill Belichick is not at all what I thought it was going to be. Right now, report on Sunday that the Patriots, their website was shooting the latest installment of a series, which is called Do Your Job. They follow a different person in the organization every week and they film them doing their job. Last week was one about an advanced scout, and they were filming in the press box between during the game between the Bengals and the Browns because the Patriots' next game was against the Bengals. So this was about an advanced scout, what he does, goes to this, you know, and watches the game. And a Bengals employee saw that they were shooting video of the Bengals sideline for the entire first quarter. Entire first quarter. This was then reported, and now it's become Spygate 2. Bill Belichick said yesterday, no, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't do that. And then the Patriots put out a statement last night saying, we inadvertently, and it was a bad idea, but the crew decided to videotape the Bengals sideline. So now you have the Patriots admitting, yes, they videotaped the sideline, which ostensibly to get the signals that Zach Taylor was giving with his coaches, because first-year coaches don't change their signals as much, and the Patriots are looking for any kind of advantage, illegal or illegal, possible. So this has now become a thing. Now, day two, okay, what do you say now? You said, no, we distance ourselves from that individual, this rogue individual operation. It was our television partners. You know, it was the website. We had nothing to do with this. No, nothing. Then they had to admit it, because now the NFL said today they have 8 minutes, 8 full minutes from the first quarter taping the Bengals sideline. Bob Kraft would not talk about it. Nope, no comment.
He was too busy getting a massage.
No, he was, when he was reached it, he wouldn't talk about it. But Bill Belichick did, and he gave a statement that really wasn't anything that I thought he would say.
I have no involvement in this and no knowledge of it, and I really don't have any idea what exactly is going on. I can tell you that, you know, we've never, as a coaching staff, and I personally have never viewed any video footage at all, anything that those production people have done, you know, other than what's shown on public television or something like that. But we don't have anything to do with what they do. So I really don't have much knowledge of the situation at all.
He went on to say, quote, "We're competitive and we'll try to be competitive in every area, but we don't knowingly, intentionally want to do anything that's across the line." Now, that's the money part. This is part of the conference call he had today with the Cincinnati media, which is sure what all coaches do ahead of the game.
And that's a great quote.
We don't knowingly, intentionally want to do anything that's across the line, but we're going to try to be competitive in every area, which is exactly what I said last night. Do you really think they're not pushing the envelope everywhere possible, sometimes pushing it up to legal boundaries,
sure,
sometimes going way past it?
Perhaps beyond it.
And that's
at times.
That's what they've been doing. Why do you think they've been winning for 20 years?
But the way he describes that there, I would hope my organization is doing everything they can. And they've gone through the rule book every which way, right? We talked about the formations that they had against the Ravens that all of a sudden, like, those are illegal. It's like, well, they weren't. But now they are because the Ravens complained.
So, yeah, but you can't tape the sideline. I mean, they got in a little bit of trouble for that. You can't tape the sideline.
I understand that.
They know that.
And obviously, they've lost the benefit of the doubt. And that's really what it comes down to here. Because if this is any other team, it's like, you know what? They're just trying to catch up with XYZ. And it's dismissed as, they're trying to raise their level. If this was the Jets, right? All it is man, they're finally trying to grab straws,
sure,
to figure out how to beat somebody. But because it's the Patriots and their history,
and they got caught doing it for a long time,
but they don't
of course
get the benefit of the doubt of this being an honest issue. Because every team's got their thing on, whether it's on the internet or on local TV, the contracts. I mean, I sat and listened to a half hour with the Chargers equipment guys on radio about 4 weeks ago. It was good radio.
It was good radio.
I'm a freaking nerd to the 100th level.
It was like do your job. You know.
But they had some great stories. And,
sure.
And hell, this past weekend, what was the big story outside of what happened on the field before this broke? Was will the shoulder pads of the Kansas City Chiefs get to Foxborough on time?
Well, you needed them. You can't play a game without shoulder pads.
But,
really
but
tough.
Again, going back to the equipment guys and what happens and snafus and crazy things and stuff breaking, whatever. But everybody seems to have a show of this ilk. Are we going to go through and pour through all their video and all their data to see if they've got anything that probably toes a line or crosses a line? No, because they haven't had a history.
They got caught in the biggest scandal in the NFL, illegally videotaping the sidelines of other teams to learn their signals and use them and put them into game plans. Now you get caught again, and you're telling me New England, their television department in production, completely by themselves, taping this, and nobody has any involvement
with
it.
Well, but that's the advanced scout's job, though.
Come on.
Is to be staring at the sideline.
If the advanced scout is at the game, if the advanced scout is at the game and he's watching the signals, that's fine. But you go to the, hey, this part of it is illegal. You got in trouble for it. You can't tell me they didn't know what was going on. For Belichick to say, we have zero involvement. He could be thinking to himself, well, me and my coaching staff, but whoever else does this and gives us the information, well, they have involvement. I mean, you can't tell me this is something that's completely just done by the video department, and they were taking all this video of the Bengals sideline, who, oh, by the way, the Bengals didn't know they were there videotaping. It was just the Browns. Another thing Belichick slid in, only the Browns knew we were taping, and the Bengals didn't know we were taping. So the team they were taping on the side, they didn't know they were doing it. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And you know the NFL... I don't even think the Bengals tape their own sideline. I don't think the Bengals have advanced scouts.
Well, the fact that we keep going back to the, hey, Zach Taylor's such a rube that they can't change signals 14 weeks into a season is a whole other problem and of itself. But
you can't tell me they're not doing this, and this is not stuff they've been doing for the better part of two decades now. This is what they're doing. And now the NFL, I know what's going to happen. They're going to put their heads in the sand because Roger Goodell is saying, I'm not going through this again, and they're going to go really light in the Patriots. They're going to look. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network already said today the NFL is inclined to believe the Patriots. I mean, that's how do you
they still have
I
to mean, have some sort of discipline, though.
Is I mean, that, how do you? I mean,
but that, it's just a question of how severe it is.
It's just insane. The Patriots get caught cheating again, and they're trying to give you a defense that doesn't hold any water. Yeah, the same thing we got in trouble for a few years ago that everybody remembers. Yeah, we did again, but we didn't know we were doing it this time. And the NFL is going to go, oh yeah, we believe that. Okay, yeah, you're free to go.
But you're not necessarily 100% guilty.
Who's not guilty?
The Patriots.
Sure, they are. The NFL has the video.
Do your job guys are guilty of it.
Okay, I could say do your job. There's a difference between me going to the bank and taking money out and going to the bank and telling the teller, hey, I want $10,000 in small bills right now. I mean, there's a difference in doing that.
Right, but you have proof
My job was getting to the bank and getting money.
But you have proof that this video exists. You have no proof that video has gotten into the hands of someone who's a decision maker.
Well, because they took it on Sunday, otherwise it would be in there, whoever's office was watching things.
But there
Ernie
you go.
Adams.
Let's have the
whoever
investigation to every other advanced scouting.
Yeah, but this that you got caught. It's like it's the whole thing. Oh, but everybody else is speeding. Yeah, but you were speeding and you got caught. I didn't pull you over because you were going under the speed limit. I pulled you over because you were speeding. Other people were speeding too, but I pulled
but
you over.
But you're categorically denying and refuting that there's that they can operate in a parallel universe. You're just jumping that Bill Belichick had to do this because they did it once before.
If this, because it's not like, if it was a different type of violation, let's just say, it wasn't videotaping, let's say something completely different, you would say, this is what the Patriots do. And I would say, this is how, why are they so good for 20 years? Because they push up to the edge of the envelope and times they go past it. This is what they've been doing now. Many things you've heard other coaches in the NFL say, oh, Patriots have done X, Y, and Z, but they haven't really said a lot about it, but there's been those allegations and those whispers. Mike Westhoff, former Jets head coach, said they do a lot of things.
Stop whispering and just, if you've got something to say, put your name on it.
But this is the same thing that you got in trouble for, that you caused the biggest scandal the NFL has seen in probably 30 years. And you really think the Patriots production company thinks I can go to a game and I can take a video camera and shoot an entire quarter footage of the Bengals sideline, who, oh, by the way, doesn't know we're taping? I can do that, right?
I'm just trying to see if that vein on your head will finally pop.
Really, this is like, is that
on the Browns in any level? Because they went to the home team and disclose this is what's happening? And is it on the Browns to say, by the way?
Well, it's the Browns.
I mean, to the Bengals. They say it to the Bengals. Is it on the Bengals or the Browns staff to tell the Bengals, hey, by the way, they're taping
or
something?
Because do you really think that phone call is going to go with the paper? Hey, this is Bob Kraft. Yeah, listen, we're doing a special for our website, and we have a guy coming to the game, so we want to shoot video of your sideline.
Sorry, I'm complaining Bengals. The names because they both suck. But the fact that they went to the Browns, got clearance, is it on the home team to say, hey, by the way?
Oh, to tell the Bengals.
To tell the Bengals, by the way, there's a video camera here.
No,
and this is what happened.
That's where I think you say, are the Bengals in on this? This is not my thing. It's okay for us, but are the Bengals in on it? And who knows what the Patriots say?
No, but
then it moves on from there.
But in the end, I mean, checks and balances as the home team.
No,
isn't there something there?
If you're the Browns, what do you say? Yeah, go ahead. We don't care. Do your thing. Yeah, go ahead. We don't know. But did they tell them what they were shooting? They say, we're shooting the Bengals sideline? Well, wait a minute. Hang on.
Well, I mean, they might not have given a shot-by-shot breakdown.
Hang on. I don't know about that.
Might have just gotten carte blanche. I mean, look, we talked about it yesterday, the 2015 article from ESPN, the Don Van Natta, in the report and the investigation did bring up very specifically the here alibis. Say you're taping the quarterback, say you're taping this, say you're from a TV show, Kraft Productions, or whatever the case may be. So certainly there's a history here that this has been vetted before. I'm just curious what the next steps are. I much as the NFL may
they're
going to
put their heads in the sand.
I don't think they can, though.
They're going to put their heads in the sand. This is like...
Or do they just hope that this runs over?
Listening...
And so it just goes away.
Listening to the Patriots talk, it's like trying to pay attention to politics. When someone from a party is given hey, here are the facts. No, that's, I have something else. Oh my God, and I want to bang my head against the wall. That's what this is. Hey, here's the start. Yeah, no. No, we didn't do it. Oh, what about the penalty? Yeah, no, I'm good on it.
I do say, though, I want my coach, I want my organization to speak just like Belichick, right to the line, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, the big domino fell tonight. Gerrit Cole to the New York Yankees, 9 years, $324 million. Joining us now on the hotline from the winter meetings in San Diego, Fox Sports MLB Network insider John Paul Morosi. JP, what's happening, my friend?
What's happening is the largest contract ever signed by someone in the world to throw a baseball. That's today. Of course, the previous record lasted all of 24 hours, a little more than that, I suppose, with the Strasburg deal. But remarkable. Gerrit Cole, New York Yankees, $324 million over 9 years. It is historic, and as Ken Rosenthal pointed out to me a moment ago on MLB Network, it really gets back to what the winter meetings always used to be about. This is like Dallas in 2000 with all those big contracts for A-Rod, Manny Ramirez. The game is back now to that point. It's great. There's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm in the lobby right now, and San Diego and indeed the whole baseball world is rocking with this news right now.
JP, was it always the Yankees? We heard the Angels had an offer close to $300 million, but the Yankees wound up getting him?
Yes, I think there was robust interest elsewhere. Angels, Dodgers were involved there at the very end. But this tonight, and I think for really this whole offseason, was about the Yankees finally finding a way to bring in Gerrit Cole. Remember, of course, they had drafted him out of high school. He ended up going to UCLA. They had tried to trade for him when he was a Pirate. So they missed him twice. They were not going to be denied this time. And Brian Cashman, with the full support of ownership, was ready to do that, and really in the end it became there's never no such thing as a simple $300 million deal, but it was a deal that the arithmetic simply made sense. The Yankees were able to look at it and say, well, if Strasburg got $35 million a year, we'll give you $36 and we'll pay you through the same age that Strasburg is getting paid through, but Cole is 2 years younger. So a 7-year deal for Strasburg, a 9-year deal for Cole at $1 million per year higher AAV. than what Strasburg has. And there you go. Easy arithmetic, guys. You should have paid attention in algebra or even fourth grade math, I suppose. 36 times 9, and that's what the deal is for Gerrit Cole. The numbers are simply staggering, and the pitcher, of course, right now is the best in baseball.
As I sit here thinking of what I could do with all that money. Hey, JP, obviously Dodger fans now wondering what's next. Are they finding themselves a hitter? Are they finding a pitcher, you know, an old adversary? Or is it secret option 3?
Well, they are certainly on Anthony Rendon. They are also on Madison Bumgarner. Ken Rosenthal reported that tonight. And that, to me, is fascinating. The notion of Bumgarner in Dodger blue, I'm not so sure that I really can picture it unless and until it happens because of all the history there. But the fit does make some sense. Now, of course, would you see Kershaw and Bumgarner in the same rotation, two lefties, certainly in the case of really both of them? Maybe their stuff isn't quite as sharp as it once was, but tremendous amounts of experience there. And I do think for the Dodgers, adding a big-time bat to the infield is still a priority, even if they're going to pursue Bumgarner. Rendon makes too much sense for them. They, for a long time, we're talking about Nolan Arenado. Of course, he is no longer an option because he ended up staying with the Colorado Rockies. So I think for so many reasons, there's a really interesting two-pronged approach there. Rendon is a really strong option, as is Bumgarner right now, and potentially bringing Hyunjin Ryu back. So the Dodgers missed out here, but they tried gamely to get this deal done, and certainly they are not done with their offseason maneuvering so far here, as the winter meetings are really starting to bubble right here at the winter meetings here in San Diego.
JP, how much is this Gerrit Cole signing going to jumpstart the rest of the market now that teams who are in on him now move to their other players and the domino effect from there?
I think it really will have a cascading effect, a very strong one for the industry, because there's plenty of interest in pitching. A lot of teams need it in a very big way. You look around and see where Cole was and who was pursuing him, and the Angels and the Giants potentially were in the mix there. But we know the Angels and Dodgers for sure. A team like Texas could probably still use a starting pitcher as well. The Cardinals, we've heard, whispered about too. So a lot of teams need starting pitching. The White Sox, the Twins, and then all the teams that thought they were going to be in on Cole are now dropping into that next tier. And if I'm the agent for Bumgarner and for Ryu and Dallas Keuchel, I feel very good, because there are teams now that are really desperate on pitching that are going to have to turn to you. And that right now is a pretty good feeling for those representatives there of those particular pitchers who are still out there on the free agent market.
Fox Sports Radio, it's Jason Smith, Mike Harmon from the Geico Studios, John Morosi, Fox Sports 1, MLB Network. Our buddy from Fox Sports, at J-O-N Morosi, is where you find him on Twitter for all the latest and greatest. You mentioned the White Sox as part of it. Selfishly, I'm going to make this about me for a minute. Jerry Reinsdorf's talked a lot about his age and needing to win and all these other things. And is it all talk, or are they legitimate contenders for some of these big fish?
I think they're very legitimate contenders, both on the hitting and the pitching side of things. Nick Castellanos and Marcelo Zuna, both players that they're interested in as free agents. And then I think to another extent on the pitching side of things, they know they have to get a little bit better there to find a veteran to pair up with Lucas Giolito at the top of the rotation there. I would say for that purpose, we could see any number of pitchers there. Bumgarner is one more possibility. Keuchel, Josh Lindblom is an option as well, who, of course, is coming back over from Korea. There's enough supply there that the White Sox, I believe, have a good chance to get a major starting pitcher, maybe even Tanner Roark. Of course, he's not quite as big of a name, but solid guy who's been in the playoffs before with the Washington Nationals. I think all those names are in play, as are those bats. I think Ozuna and Castellanos, one of those two bats, I think would fit very nicely on the south side. And Keuchel, Dallas Keuchel, as a pitcher, reminds me a lot of Mark Burley, a lefty, very athletic, defends his position very well. I think those possibilities all are certainly very, very much alive right now for Rick Hahn and the White Sox.
All right, JP, we got about 30 seconds. If I went to Vegas, I said, all right, I want to bet on the next big player and where he's going to sign. What are you hearing? What would you tell me?
Next big player to sign, I would say Josh Donaldson going back to the Braves. They remain engaged there. It's a really good fit for him. So I would say 4 years, for Josh Donaldson going back to the Atlanta Braves. That'd be my best assessment. But then again, the pitching side of things has moved so quickly that we cannot rule out the possibility of a Ryu or a Keuchel signing in particular here in the coming days.
You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. That is at John Morosi. MLB Network, Fox Sports 1 Insider from the winter meetings in San Diego. JP, thanks so much. And when the Mets sign Anthony Rendon, we'll call you back.
Well, right. I was just about to say, we made it through a whole segment. I made no Mets joke. Not a single Mets joke.
So that's all right. We'll save next hour. There goes John Paul Morosi. Great stuff from him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Regardless of how you feel about the deal, it is nice to see the Yankees being the Yankees once again.
Sure.
In that,
absolutely.
The evil empire Yankees the past few years haven't been, we're going to go out and pay for whoever we want, and that's how we're going to win.
No, they've been the warm and cuddly Yankees, right? Everybody fell in love with Aaron Judge.
Right.
Because he also made fun of himself, right? Yeah. And his size, and he'd be doing those bits out of parks in New York City. Do you know who this guy is? He was in all the comedy bits, whatever else. And he embraced New York, right? So it was not, hey, this larger life. He was just one of the guys, right? And all those young guys all came up and they were just part of the organization. It wasn't the, hey, they went and sent a giant Brinks truck over to bring in some massive free agent. Yes, they made some moves of that ilk, but the identity of this team was all the young, not quite scrappy players, but certainly not those big names and buying a superstar team like Montgomery Burns like you would have been seeing in years past.
No, it's Gleyber Torres, it's Luke Voit, it's Gary Sanchez, it's Aaron Judge. You know, it's those guys. And free agency-wise, it was, yes, they paid a lot of money for CeCe Sabathia, but that was a long time ago. It's been contracts like, hey, DJ LeMay, you can fill a void for us. And look, the guy hit 350 last year. All right. It's going after Didi Gregorius, who came and solidified shortstop for 4 years for the Yankees. Gregorius goes to the Phillies today.
Yep.
But that's been what the Yankees have done. It's not been the, hey, we're going out and we're spending a ton of money. And I miss that because that's the way the Yankees have always been. They kind of went against brand and against type. And was it something that I missed because they were succeeding doing the other way? No, they were still succeeding doing it this way because they've always kind of had a mix. Even you go back to when they were winning every other World Series in the late 90s, it was, okay, they would go out and, you know, they brought up Derek Jeter and Rivera and Pettit and Jorge Posada.
And Williams, you know, and all
and
those
Cano
guys.
And sure. But it also was, let's go get Wade Boggs. Let's go pay for Scott Brosius. It was also, it's let's get Jose Canseco to keep him away from other teams.
You know, we had a really fun discussion about them on our podcast.
We did. Hey, the Special Teams podcast, iHeartRadio app, iTunes. We look back at the 1998 New York Yankees, one of the best single season teams of all time. Again, iHeartRadio app, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, Special Teams podcast with me and Mike Harmon. Now back to our regularly scheduled conversation. So even back in the late 90s, they did it, but they still brought in free agents. But after their big splash on Sabathia and they win the World Series in 2009, for 10 years, it's not been the Steinbrenner Yankees that we had known. It's not been the – it was Hank and Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman, and how are we going to run this team? All right, let's make trades. Let's revamp our farm system, and that's how we're going to build this team. And they have. And now they're back to, all right, we'll go pay money for Giancarlo Stanton, $325 million. Now they're giving this money. I mean, this is $650 million they've invested in two guys in the past 3 years now with Stanton and with Gerrit Cole. And I'm glad the Yankees are back to that because it makes things more fun. It makes the Yankees more fun to root against. It makes the Yankees more fun to root for. It makes the Yankees more fun to follow them every day because of what they're doing and paying this kind of money. Look, we watch in the NBA now, and what are the stories this year? The Lakers and the Lakers and the Clippers, right? That's it. Yeah. The Lakers number one, and then it's still the Lakers, and then it's the Clippers. And that's what the NBA needs. They're not going to get the Knicks to be good anytime soon, but they need the Lakers. Here the Lakers are the best team, and they're rolling through teams, and it's LeBron, and everybody's interested. Major League Baseball needs the Yankees to even take that step up. As much as everybody hates the Yankees, they still are interested in them, and when they're doing it to this extent, that just makes it more fun. It makes it more fun to see them fail, and it makes it more fun to see them win. It just makes everything about them more fun when, hey, now they're out, they're spending all this money. Because conversations about baseball, we talk about money in baseball more than we talk about money in any other sport, mm-hmm. right? We talk about quarterbacks and the money they're getting, but not nearly enough as we talk about starting pitchers, star players, and the money they're getting in Major League Baseball. Nobody talks about money in the NBA. Yeah, best players are getting all that money. All right, great. Most of the guys in the NFL, yeah, we got to have that guy. Quarterbacks, a little bit of scrutiny, but Major League Baseball is about money. Everybody loves talking about money, and that's what baseball is.
Well, and for all sports, I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about the Cowboys and being a train wreck, but everybody loves a villain, right? When mm-hmm. Duke loses when they're number one in the land and Krzyzewski's mad or they get upset by a team you've never heard of, it makes waves, not just because, wow, that's a big story, number one getting knocked off. It's like, no, everybody, it's Schadenfreude, right? The I want to see these other people fail and do so spectacularly. So when the Yankees go and spend all this money, you're going to see people root harder against the Yankees because they went and, quote, bought their team. Not that your team, favorite team didn't do the same, just perhaps with a smaller and more budget constraints mixed therein. But when they go and spend this kind of money on Gerrit Cole, yeah, the target's back. The Yankee brand gets that breath of air back into it, right? When the Cowboys started 3-0, yeah, they were bum slang, but they were 3-0. So now it's how much money is Dak going to get? When's he going to get signed? What are they going to do with Amari Cooper? And on and on and on. As the season gone on, no, it's a dumpster fire, and it's when's Jason Garrett finally going to be relieved of his duties, and who's going to be the next guy to stand up, and will they actually have any juice in the organization next to Jerry Jones? But it's still delicious theater because you love to hate the star. So for the Yankees, this is perfect. This is exactly what baseball wants. And if you're talking about silly money, that means people are feeling pretty good about where the game stands economically as well.
Well, and the other part of this is Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. The other part of this conversation is that you need to use the resources at your disposal to succeed. And for different teams, it's different things, right? If you're trying to sell, hey, we already have really good players, come to this team to win a championship, well, you got to sell that, right? If you wanted to sell, you know, this player likes a little bit of a lifestyle off the beaten path, and you can have that. Hey, you got to sell that, right? You got to use that part. Hey, come play here. You'll be a star. But the public, they treat their stars great. You're going to love it. You know, the way your lifestyle here, you have to use that. And New York and other cities, New York, Los Angeles, the big cities, they have to use money. Because they have money. And that's their big thing. Hey, you want money? New York, right? It was always, where do you go when you want money? New York. I want to get New York involved in the negotiations, because whether I wind up there or not, they're going to be the ones that help set the table and set the bar for money, right? It's money, it's advertising, it's relevancy, it's all of it. So New York, that's the big thing. And the Yankees, because they're successful, can use money to lure people in. I want to go play there. That's a really good team. We can go win the World Series. Money's not working for the Knicks because the Knicks suck and they haven't been good in years. So it's, well, do I really want to get paid from there? You got to have something else. You know, I mean, look, the Yankees were a trash can away from making the World Series. A very big trash can away from making the World Series.
Does Gerrit Cole bring that with him? Does he have one of the, are they individually numbered? Did the team sign them?
All right, here you go. Sanchez, listen, when you're not playing, you stand right here, right? And what you do is, if it's an off-speed pitch, you bang it twice, right? If it's nothing, you don't do anything. Everybody knows. Let's practice, you and me, right now.
I tell you what, if Steiner Sports doesn't have commemorative mini trash cans signed by Gerrit Cole by the end of the week, it's an epic fail.
What if you find out Gerrit Cole was actually the one doing it? Helping everybody
even
out.
Even better.
He's the one doing
it.
And
he's their chief percussionist.
So what are you doing?
And you could get Rush back on the road if Neil Peart doesn't want you and Gerrit Cole can sit in.
What do you do in your off days? You know, well, the day after I pitch, I kind of stretch and run and I get the soreness out. Then the next day I do long toss. The third day I bang the trash can to let everybody know what the pitches are. Fourth day I do a bullpen, and then I pitch the fifth day.
Well, it's a perfect fit. There's a lot of trash in the Bronx.
Can you imagine the number of endorsement and opportunities there's going to be with him with
sanitation? He's their spokesman.
Oh yeah, right there, right away.
But I mean, does it now change to a rat-based cheating scandal in New York?
I don't think you listen. I know you want to make this happen. You can't train. Rats are smart. You can't train them enough to be able to be dependent enough to tell the batters if it's an off-speed pitch coming or not.
Did you ever see Willard or Ben?
Yeah, that's one rat.
I think you can. No, there were a lot of rats.
That rat's dead. All right? No, Willard was just the one rat.
But do you see they're making...
No, stop. We're going back to 1973 and a really bad movie.
No, but I mean, they're making monkey-pig combinations in China. We could get a super rat going.
All right. I think that's a little bit too much. I like the ambition you have. You're not going to be able to train rats in New York.
But we've talked about how powerful they are.
But you can't.
They can't carry pizzas
for crying
out loud.
That's a lot of responsibility to say this rat, here's where you have to make sure that the batters know what off-speed pitch is coming. What are you going to do? How are you going to have the rat do it? What do you have the rat do?
It's a good question.
What does the rat do?
Jumps down.
And then, but what about
throws jumping? A piece of pizza?
I mean,
I don't know.
You can't train a rat.
I'll tell you what a rat could have done tonight.
What's that?
He could have been the GM of the Yankees and signed Garrett Cole.
It's a fair point. As long as he had the authorization for that dollar amount.
Rats always got extra cheese.
The two of us need look no more. We both know what we've been looking for, and it's Garrett Cole. DJ. But those are the two big things that I like about the Yankees, because they use their resources, which is money, and they went and became the old Yankees where, you know what? We're not above going out to buy a championship. Now, is $650 million on Garrett Cole and Giancarlo Stanton worth it? That's the big question, and we'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. But still, they went and they used what they needed to, and they said, screw this. We're going to go out. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to be bold.
I have a tweet that I need you to read in the guise of Berman for me real quick.
Oh, okay. Let me see the tweet right there. I'll do it. Let me see. TJ, the Yankees will reportedly have some coal in their stockings this holiday season. TJ.
That's from @MLB. Boom.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.